Good Erev Shabbos, everyone. We made it. We made it through Pesach, and now we're moving straight from Pesach to Shabbos. I want to take this opportunity just to share a brief thought with each and every one of you regarding Moshe's seemingly perplexing behavior in the aftermath of a tragedy in this week's Parsha, Parsha Shemini. Nadav and Avihu are killed for offering an uncommanded strange fire. Then Moshe tells Aaron and his remaining children that, notwithstanding the death of sons, of brothers, as the case may be, Aaron and his children must still finish performing the sacrificial service. As part of the sacrificial service, they must consume portions from the Korban Mincha, the Korban Shlamim, the flour offering and the peace offering that were brought specially for that day. And apparently Aaron and his children have no problem fulfilling that task. However, when Moshe discovers that the Korban Chatas, the sin offering, has been burned and has not been consumed, Moshe gets angry at Aaron's children and he asks them, why didn't they eat the meat from the Korban Chatas, from the sin offering? Aaron responds on behalf of his children, essentially stating that being that they couldn't eat the chatas meat because they were in a state of aninus, their close relatives just died, and they were not even buried yet. So how can they eat this sacrificial meat? And Moshe agrees with the analysis of his brother Aaron. But when I read this narrative, I wonder, is there any way that we can make Moshe look good in the story? Moshe seems to come across in the story as an insensitive, cold-hearted leader. His brother just lost two of his sons, and all Moshe cares about is on with the show, continue doing the avoda. Don't cancel the program. More than that, the Torah tells us that Moshe gets angry. And Chazal, our sages in Vayikra Rabba, suggest that Moshe made a mistake because he became angry. Is there any way that we can portray Moshe Rabbeinu in a positive light? Moshe apparently understood that there was a difference, or that there was no difference between the Korban Mincha and the Shlamim on the one hand and the Korban Chatas on the other hand. Hashem specifically commanded to offer the first two sacrifices, so Moshe just logically assumed that the same rule would apply to the Korban Chatas. Now, he was incorrect, either because, as the Rashbam suggests, that the Korban Chatas requires those offering it, that they have to be in a state of simcha, a state of happiness, and Aaron and his two remaining sons obviously were not in a state of simcha, they were not in a state of happiness, or, as others suggest, that the Korban Chatas requires those offering be on a certain spiritual level. Other Mefarshim state that the Korban Chatas, to bring it, you have to be on a certain level spiritually, which Aaron and his two children were not on at this point, because possibly Aaron thought that Nadav and Avihu died as a partial payback for Aaron's sin with the golden calf. Now, Moshe was wrong in this instance. Aaron and his children should not partake in the sin offering. But why does Moshe get angry? Why does he, has, in a sense, lose his temper? How can we make Moshe look good in this story? I believe that we can understand Moshe's anger as reflecting anxiety, and I believe that we can understand his anxiety in one of two ways, either from a personal perspective or from a communal perspective. Let's first consider Moshe Rabbeinu's anxiety from a personal perspective. Let's say we were having a Gedolim draft, and we'd ask, who'd be the first two picks in our Gedolim draft at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim? So probably Moshe and Aaron would go number one and number two in the draft. And you know who would go number three and four? Nadav and Avihu. And what happened? Numbers three and four were just killed by God. Moshe is fearful, perhaps now, that if Aaron and his remaining children did not perform the avoda, if they did not perform the sacrificial service exactly as God had dictated, you know what would happen? Maybe Aaron's other two children would be killed. So perhaps Moshe's anger did not reflect an insensitivity towards Aaron and his children. Just the opposite. His anger or his anxiety reflected care and concern. He didn't want to see them killed, as Nadav and Avihu had been killed. But perhaps we can suggest something else. Perhaps Moshe had two different concerns in mind, individual and communal. He first comforts Aaron by telling Aaron that Nadav and Avihu were probably greater than him, according to Rashi. Even though they were killed, they weren't wicked individuals. But after trying to console Aaron, Moshe also realized that he was not only Aaron's brother, but he was the leader of the nation, a nation that required atonement from God. And more than that, a nation that was trying to bring God back into their midst. About 8.5 months after Moshe destroyed the Luchos, the two tablets for the sin of the golden calf, Moshe and his people had finally constructed a Mishkan, a temple that would welcome God back into their midst. However, this day of jubilation turned into a day of devastation. And Moshe, even though he was technically wrong about this particular sacrifice, was motivated by the strength and the resolve to go on despite his grief, the grief of his brother, and the grief of Klal Yisrael. In fact, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks explains that in this story, we find the two titans of our nations expressing two different types of courage that are absolutely imperative for the continuation of Klal Yisrael. The courage of Aaron is the courage to grieve, the courage to mourn, and on a most basic level, the courage to be human. The courage of Moshe Rabbeinu is the courage to keep going on despite the grief, the courage not to be paralyzed by loss, never to lose faith in God. And we need both. And the question that we must always ask ourselves is, how do we balance these two different types of courage? And that's where halacha, that's where Jewish law appears. For example, Rabbi Soloveitchik explains that the onen has a right to be human. An onen has the right to say, I just lost my close relative, and therefore, I cannot pray to God in this state. I cannot recite tfilos or brachos. I cannot recite prayers or blessings. I cannot pray to God in this state. But once the close relative is buried, we must have the courage to go on, to say, Yisgadal v'yisgadash shmei rabba, to accept and to affirm that God is great, and to keep going on despite the grief. Our halachic system struggles with finding the balance of having both the courage of Moshe Rabbeinu and the courage of his brother Aaron. And it is this very struggle that makes us both Jewish on the one hand and human on the other hand. I'd like to wish each and every one of you a good Erev Shabbos.